This is the Anthem CDA podcast, a church in the heart of downtown Coeur d'Alene. Join us as we seek the presence of God, learn from His Word, and build lifelong connections. We hope this week's teaching brings life and encouragement. Welcome to Anthem.
Good morning, everybody. What an amazing, amazing day. So glad you guys are with us this morning. We're going to jump back into this Advent series that we've been in. And before we open the scriptures this morning, I want to sort of ground us in why we're practicing Advent over the coming weeks. Last week, my wife did an amazing job talking about joy. How many of you guys were blessed by that word? She did awesome. This morning, we're going to jump into peace. And Advent, just to remind you, is one of the oldest Christian traditions. It's this four-week season of waiting and longing and preparing our hearts for the arrival of Jesus. The word Advent simply means arrival. And so during these weeks, we slow down to remember that Jesus has come, that Jesus actually is here, and that Jesus will be coming again. And Advent sort of pushes back against the hurried pace of our December. And it reminds us that God enters the world not when everything is calm, but when everything is chaotic. That's the hope we have. And so we talk about hope and peace and joy and love. And we talk about them as a way of declaring that into the world's darkness, God brings light and He brings peace amongst turmoil in our world. And so here in week two, our collective prayer has been really simple. Just give me peace. Last week we talked about just give me joy. And this week we're going to talk about just give me peace. And so if you bow your heads with me, I just ask you to take your hands and open them up before the Lord this morning, and let's pray and invite Him to just move in our midst. Jesus, we pause right now in your presence, Lord. And in this world that is full of noise and a world that is full of worry, we desperately need your voice. And so I pray, Jesus, that you would speak peace, Lord, over our anxieties and our worries and the chaos in this world. Help us, Jesus, to release like every attempt we have to control whatever is ours or what's never ours. And I pray, Jesus, that this morning you would let your word just simply rest deeply in us this morning. And so we welcome you, Prince of Peace, into this place and into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Peace is interesting. Peace is something that everybody wants, but very few people actually experience, isn't it? Many of us spend a really significant amount of time in our lives trying to feel peaceful. Can anybody relate to that? We all want to experience it. And so what do? We adjust our routines in our life. We simplify our homes. We've been going through that, trying to organize every closet and our garage and all the things that in the back of my mind bring me so much chaos. If those things were just in order, I would feel peace. And so we try new health practices that would hopefully bring about peace for us. We listen to really calming playlists, right? Because we need something peaceful. We're not going to listen to like punk rock and metal right now. I need something that's just going to bring about peace. We adopt systems into our life that help us to try to manage stress. And all of these things are really good. So we try to organize and we try to optimize and we try to control our way into peace in our lives. But the harder we try to engineer peace, the more elusive peace becomes, isn't it? It's so interesting. And this isn't just a modern problem for you and I today. People have been trying to create their own peace for thousands of years. When Jesus was born, the Roman Empire at the time was promoting something called the Pax Romana. And in Greek or in English, the Pax Romana translates to Roman peace. And on the surface, this whole idea of Pax Romana, it sounded stable. It sounded prosperous. But under this peace that they were offering was actually control. And so Rome at the time maintained order through force. They maintained order in that culture through dominance. And so their version of peace meant as long as you do what we say, everything is going to stay calm. That's what they were presenting. So it was really peace by pressure, in all honesty. And what's fascinating is that the world Jesus enters into was a world that claimed to have peace, yet people were deeply anxious. People were deeply afraid of this empire. People were searching for something that was just actually real. And in many ways, our world mirrors that same tension today, doesn't it? It's the same thing. So many of us chase peace in the very same way that they were, believing that if we can keep everything in order, that if we can keep everything under our control, then we will finally feel settled in our lives. But the more that we try to control, the more anxious we actually become. It's the reality. And this leads us to the tension that I want to present today, that we chase peace through control, but the more we control, the less peace we actually experience. Frame it simply, the reason we stop finding peace is because we stop choosing to put ourselves in peace. Peace is actually something you choose. That's something that you hear through every week of this Advent series is you have the option to choose these things. They don't just come to you. They don't just arrive without you asking. It's something you choose to place yourself into in Christ. And so into this sort of ancient struggle that I'm talking about this morning that was shared by Rome and shared by you and I today, God speaks a very different kind of peace. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, the infamous Christmas message, right? Into this world that was just obsessed with control at the time, God gave a completely different kind of peace. 700 years before Jesus is born, this is what Isaiah says. He says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father," and listen to this phrase, "Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." It's a promise. And so Isaiah, in this passage, is really describing a person. Not a feeling. He's describing a person. The title, Prince of Peace, that Isaiah uses here means the one who rules with and brings true peace. It was him that could accomplish this. The Hebrew word that we've heard many times, shalom, peace, means wholeness. It means completeness. It means harmony. It means life aligned with God so that you can actually flourish. And this peace that he presents is not fragile. It's not a circumstantial form of peace. He says, of the increase of his peace, there will be no end. Whose peace? Of the increase of his peace, there will be no end, which means his peace keeps growing. His peace keeps expanding. His peace keeps holding steady. And then Isaiah ends by saying this, the zeal of the Lord will do this. Meaning, peace is not something we manufacture. Peace is something that God brings. Something that he delivers. He delivers on his promise. And Isaiah's prophecy is announcing a peace that's not dependent on circumstances, but is anchored in a person, and that theme becomes really personal for me. I considered how deep to go into this brief illustration that I want to share with you this morning. But this topic of peace is so personal to me, and I've shared bits of it before. But I've battled anxiety for the majority of my adult life. And there's been seasons where it has wreaked havoc on my soul. People who know me, maybe my leadership style, maybe know my planning, my type A sort of personality that I have, I think often assume that I just don't struggle because I do a good job, not putting on a front, but I like things in order. And so I manage my life in such a way that it looks in order. The reality is that so often, even in the midst of the order,
I would be like in havoc in my heart, feeling so anxious and allowing circumstances in my life to just control parts of me. And the truth is that my anxiety usually exposes exactly where I'm trying to hold too much together. I find that when my anxiety flares, it's often because I've got such a tight grip on something that I want it to go my way, and it hasn't, and I can't control it, that it causes everything in me to freak out. And the hardest seasons of my life have been when I've tried to control every detail and try to dictate every outcome, every sort of what if. And the reality is that the older that I get, the more I've realized that there are only a handful of things in life that I can actually control, and everything else belongs to God. So in that, quick, brief aside lesson, there are a handful of things in your life that you can control. And you can do your best to get those things in order. But in getting those things in order, you also have to realize that there are a slew of things that are outside of your control. So do what you can to get some things in order, and then trust God with the rest of it. In fact, for me, the more tightly that I grip my life, the less peaceful I become. And whenever I release control, like even sort of imperfectly, peace has room to breathe again in my life. And this is where Isaiah's promise becomes hope for me. It becomes a promise. It's not just theoretical. It actually is a promise that God delivers on. And maybe for some of you this morning, you find yourself in that place, right? Trying to manage what scares you, trying to control what's slipping away in your life, trying to carry what was never meant for you to carry. And if that's you this morning, I hope you can hear this with compassion from me. Peace is not avoiding what overwhelms you. Peace is letting Jesus into the places you've been afraid to surrender. Peace is not avoiding what overwhelms you. It's allowing Jesus into the places that you are so fearful of surrendering to him. And Isaiah, again, calls him Prince of Peace. Why? Because he doesn't just calm your world. That's not why God exists, to just make you feel comfortable in your world. He actually cares about calming you, entering into the pain with you. And Jesus picks up Isaiah's promise and brings it even closer in John 14, verse 27, that Alec read this morning. Listen to Jesus' own words. Try that, right? He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And Jesus spoke these words on the night that he was betrayed. Like when circumstances were about to fall apart for the disciples and everything was about to get extremely chaotic, Jesus steps in and he says, "My peace I give to you." Before they even understand what's about to take place, he says, "My peace I give to you." Not peace someday, not peace if everything sort of works out. He says his peace right now. And when he says not as the world gives, he means the world offers a form of circumstantial peace to you. And as long as everything goes the way you want, you can feel calm. But Jesus offers this form of relational peace. A peace that's actually grounded in him, not in your circumstances. And if Jesus gives his peace, then the question for us becomes this: what does it look like to actually live in that peace? Anybody asking that question this morning? What does it look like to live into it? And I think Paul gives us that pathway in Philippians 4, 6 through 9. Paul says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Now stop right there for a second. Do not be anxious about anything, but what? By prayer and supplication. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Does that sound like there's something you have to choose to do to enter into that peace? I think so. It's not works-based, like, if you do this, I'll give you this. But what he's saying is, don't be anxious about anything. But in all your anxiety and all your fears, and when everything feels super chaotic, enter into everything by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving in your heart. He goes on to say in verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will do what? The peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and he ends with this, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Man, how many of us spend our lives waiting for peace? God, just do it for me. God, where's your peace? Just bring it. Like, I just give it to me. And Paul seems to give us these themes of like prayer and supplication, having thanksgiving in our hearts, and then practice these things, like move in this direction. Do something with what he's given you, and the peace, the God of peace will be with you. You see, Paul's not telling us to never feel anxiety. That's not what he's saying. He's telling us not to let anxiety govern your life. There's a Prince of Peace. There's a God of peace that will rule, that will govern your life. Don't let these things have too much control. And Paul sort of gives us a new response. Instead of holding everything inside, we bring everything to God in prayer. And then he ties it to gratitude with thanksgiving. It's really interesting, if you go read some recent studies, there's an article that I read that was just written in September. And neuroscientists have confirmed why this is, that thanksgiving has the ability to actually give us peace. And what they've found is that gratitude activates your prefrontal cortex. And so the part of the brain that's responsible for your emotional regulation and clarity and for problem solving, like it actually, gratitude reduces activity in the fear center of the brain. It's really interesting. And it strengthens these pathways that are associated with peace and with resilience. We talk about why can't the world today find peace? Why does it seem as though humankind is becoming less and less resilient? Well, here's a bit of our answer. We lack gratitude. We lack it because we never communicate it. We never look for the good in our lives and the things we have to be grateful for. And gratitude literally shifts the brain out of anxiety mode. That's what scientists are saying. Unbelieving scientists are saying that gratitude does something to shift the brain. And so when Paul calls us to prayer and to thanksgiving, he's describing this spiritual practice that aligns with the way that God designed your minds to begin with. And Paul continues, think about these things. Practice these things is what he says. And you see, peace is not passive, right? It requires your participation if you're going to enter into it. And so we train our minds to remain anchored in what's true and what is life-giving. And then Paul sort of offers the best promise that the God of peace will be with you. Like not just peace, the God of peace, the ruler of peace, the Lord of peace will be with you. And based on these handful of passages, I get this idea that peace, again, requires some level of participation from us. Like peace begins with surrender. Like in everything, let your requests be made known to God. So peace grows through gratitude. And as we intentionally shift our minds toward God's faithfulness, to remind ourselves of his promises, like peace requires boundaries. It requires training our minds to dwell on what's true and what's honorable and what's life-giving. And peace flourishes in the presence of God himself. Peace is not the absence of chaos. Peace is the presence of Jesus. And so we long for a peace that isn't dependent on your circumstances. And Jesus offers us that, not as an idea or a technique, it's not some theory, but he offers it in and of himself. Peace doesn't come from having less chaos. Peace comes from having more of Jesus. If we're gonna be honest this morning, how many of you this morning struggle with peace in your life? I just want you to be honest. A lot of us. Man, it is a journey that till this day, like, I'm still trying to figure out, but what I'm realizing again is that there's only so many things I can control. And I have fought so hard. You can ask my wife this. There is a part of my brain that is convinced sometimes that if I can get everything in order, I can actually feel peace. So if you walk into my office, it's always organized. I like things in a particular place. If there's ever anything that is out of place, you can ask anybody who knows me, I start to freak out a little bit, because what I like to know is that I can always resort back to the things that I have control of. But yet I still find myself in pockets of time in my life where, in moments, where my heart feels out of control. And I want to experience his peace. And what I'm realizing, any other extroverts in the room? What I'm realizing is that the majority of my life I spent trying to do whatever I could to escape having to sit with God and receive the peace he wanted to give me. And so I escaped it by just being with people. Just being in the midst of noise and chaos and stuff. Because then I didn't have to think about the hard work of, like, how do I receive this peace from the Lord? Well, it actually will come from a moment where you sit with him and you receive it. Where you're reminded in that moment to escape the chaos of your life and receive the promises that he has for you. Peace is this promise. It's not theoretical. He wants to give it to you. It's not just a good idea. And so this morning, I thought it would be kind of cool to end in a time of communion. We do once a month, but I wanted to start it a little bit differently. And as we come to communion this morning, I want to slow us down a little bit and remind us not only that we take communion, but why we take communion this morning. Are you guys with me? You good? Okay. Communion is not a ritual that we're trying to get through. It's not some sort of like symbolic snack this morning. Communion is a declaration of the gospel of Jesus. Communion is this tangible reminder that everything we need, including peace, was purchased for us by Jesus' life. Everything is in him. And so we take the bread because Jesus said this. He said, "This is my body, which is for you." And his body was broken so that our lives, your and I's lives, could be made whole. And then we take the cup this morning because Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Because what we believe and know is that his blood was poured out so our sins could be forgiven. That is a promise that we hang on to. And our relationship with God could be restored because of the shedding of his blood. Our hearts could actually be anchored to his peace because of his sacrifice. And so communion is the reminder that peace is not something we try to earn. It's not something you try to manufacture in your life. You cannot do it. Peace was accomplished at the cross. Peace is secured through Jesus' resurrection. Peace is sustained by God's continued presence with us today. And I want you to think about those three things real quick. Peace was accomplished by what? His cross, his death. Peace was secured through his resurrection, and it's sustained through his presence. We continue to receive his peace through his presence. And so as we prepare to take communion today, I want to invite you into a moment of sort of honest stillness. And I'm going to ask you to just sit quiet for a moment. And here's what I think some of you are going to feel like in the midst of this. If you're like me, I don't want to do this. My mind is thinking about lunch, about the slew of things I have to do after this. My mind is caught up in my family issues, my marital issues, my relational issues, my addiction issues. My mind is caught up in all these things. The last thing I want to do is sit right now and contemplate things. But I want to ask you this morning, like, what if the greatest step of faith that you could take right now is actually just simply sitting still? And if you're like me, you're like, I don't want to do that. Some of you introverts are in the room like, please, give me an hour of that. You know, that's going to feel so amazing. But for most of us, we're contemplating what else is going on in our life. Or maybe we're contemplating the fact that I've done this before and nothing ever came from it. And my continued encouragement to you is that it's not going to be a one-time thing. It's going to be a daily thing where you choose to sit in his presence and escape the chaos of the world for a moment, to be reminded of his promises that are for you, that the Prince of Peace has already stepped into your circumstance with you, that he's not going to chill the circumstances necessarily, but what he is going to do is chill your heart, to bring a calm and a rest to your soul this morning. And so this morning, I want you to sit long enough to release the things that you've been gripping. I want you to sit long enough to let Jesus hold the things that you can't this morning. And I want you to sit long enough to let the Prince of Peace calm your anxious hearts. Because we get into the season of Christmas in December, and I'm not gonna lie, everything feels like it's going 110 miles an hour, and we lose focus of the season that we find ourselves in. And so I want you to take a moment. I want you to bow your heads. If it's helpful, I want you to turn your palms up. And in doing so, Alex talked earlier about allowing our physical posture to match the posture of your hearts. And if this morning you're struggling with peace, then what I'd ask is that you turn your hands over to him this morning and acknowledge that he's the only one that can bring the peace that you've been longing for. And so I want you to take a minute and just a short pause. And I want you to surrender control and receive the peace that only Jesus can bring you this morning. So just take a moment. Like, I don't want even any music right now, you guys, or any noise. I want you to just sit in silence and turn your mind and your heart towards the Lord this morning and ask him for his peace. The giver of peace, to step in and bring the peace that he died for, that he resurrected for, and that he continues to give his presence to us to receive. Let's just sit. Jesus, you are our peace. Your body given, your blood poured out for us, your presence even with us now, Lord. You are our hope, God. You are our rest, and we surrender our control this morning, and we receive your peace. As we take this moment and you come forward to grab the bread and the cup, if you need to sit still for a moment before you even come forward to do that, just to sit in the presence of God, that's awesome. Don't feel rushed. We are such a rushed people. It's so easy to just get to the next thing because it's scheduled and it's programmed, and to escape the moment that you have right now. Chances are the rest of your day is going to be chaotic. And we're saying right now, we're granting you permission to just sit. To let God complete the work in you that he began. And so I want you, if you need to sit, sit. As you feel led and you're ready to come partake in communion this morning, come forward and grab a cup, grab a piece of bread. There's some gluten-free bread in the back station to my right and to this station to my left if you need it. But I'm going to ask you to go grab the elements when you're ready, to go back to your chair. And as we partake in communion this morning, we like to remind ourselves each time that we don't rush to do this because it's a form and a function. We do this because we desperately need to be reminded of who he is. What his sacrifice accomplished for us. Man, daily I need to be like, God, you are the only one that can truly bring peace to my weary soul. You are it. And communion becomes that reminder when we take it, where it's just reminded of his promises, reminded of his faithfulness, being grateful, filling our hearts with gratitude for who he is, what he's done, what he's going to continue to do. Even despite your circumstances this morning, God has not stopped being faithful and true. He has not stopped loving you and seeing you exactly where you're at. And so as you come forward, grab the elements, go back to your chairs, sit in the presence of God, and as you feel led, partake of communion and be reminded this morning that the bread is his body broken for you, that the cup is his blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins, and allow your hearts to well up with gratitude this morning, to be so thankful for a God that didn't just allow us to sit in our pain, but stepped into it with us and gave us a solution, a way out. And so as this song plays, listen to the lyrics of this song. Come grab the elements and sit down in your chairs and partake in communion and just take advantage of this moment before we move on. Feel free to come forward as you feel led.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to reach out to us or see what we currently have going on as a church, head to anthemcda.com or find us on social media at AnthemCDA. We can't wait to see you next week.